morning, Bob. Welcome to Stowe. My name is Sally Nolan, and I work in the MCS group here in this building. My question to you is, in order to keep us customer focused, do you have any personal recommendations on how we can keep this positive momentum going?
Brenda Newton. I work in the MCS Product Service Management Group. Bob, I'm wondering, now that we've returned to profitability, what measures are we taking to sustain those profits?
Hi, Bob. My name is John Goff. I'm the logistics manager for MCS, and I have a question for you. One of the company statements is to become profitable by the end of Q2. And I'm glad to say that we've achieved this, and I think everybody's happy with that. My real question is, what is the next major milestone that the company has to achieve? Thank you.
Hi, Bob. My name is Kathleen Connolly. I'd like to know if systems integration is truly a business unit, or is it just a sales vehicle for the ABU and the SBU? If, in fact, SI is a business unit, then why would we not receive revenue credit on the total sale as opposed to just the SI product line? Thank you.
My name is Eva Sakal. I work in outsourcing management services. Bob, I'd like you to talk about the changes in our management systems to reinforce our movement away from the matrix. But at the same time, I'd like you to talk about how you want to encourage continued cooperation among the divisions as we serve customers that we have in common. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Paul Bird, Marketing Manager in the Systems Integration Organization. For some time now, analysts have ranked our Systems Integration Organization as one of the best in the industry. Today, digital continues to grow successfully through work with our partners. I'd like to ask Bob what role he now sees the Systems Integration Organization playing.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming to this Q3 Employee Forum DVM. I want to thank everyone in the company, those that are watching the DVM, that are here with us this morning, and frankly those that maybe missed the DVM, but every employee in the company for their contribution in achieving our quite positive results in the second quarter just ended. Today I'm going to talk about my perspective about where we are in terms of the transformation of the company. I'm going to talk a little bit about the second quarter, where we've been in the last 7 or 8 months in particular. I'm going to discuss what we need to do in the current quarter, the third quarter, and beyond in order to sustain the transformation of the company. And I'll try to address the questions that were in the video lead-in, as well as the questions that you might have here in the audience this morning. If you think back just 7 or 8 months ago, the company was in a very serious crisis. We had just surprised ourselves, certainly surprised the management, surprised all of the analysts, and probably most importantly, surprised our customers with a very large loss in Q3 of last year of $183.3 million. Not that I remember the number. And it was quite a disappointment to all of us, and probably most of all to me. As I thought about all of the work that you'd been through in the previous year in restructuring our business, and the fact that we still although we had done a tremendous amount, we'd taken out hundreds of millions of dollars in expenses, we still were not where we needed to be. And it really was quite clear that what the company needed was a complete re-engineering, a complete transformation, that we weren't going to be able to get where we needed to be by just continuing to reduce cost in an incremental basis, and we needed to get a lot more focused. In May of last year, we set a goal of achieving profitability from operations by the end of the calendar year. And that goal managed to get leaked to the Wall Street Journal. The reason was it was important from my perspective that our customers understand that we were going to return to profitability and we were going to survive, because that clearly was a question in the minds of our customers. This was a goal, it wasn't a forecast, because it's nonsense to forecast what is inherently unknowable, but it's a very important goal for our company. In July, we followed that up. In the entering time, by the way, we decided how we were going to organize our company and do that re-engineering. And in July, we announced the new organizational structure of Digital and how we were going to transition to it over the next 6 months. We explained that to all of the analysts. We talked about the fundamental issue of eliminating Digital's functional matrix management that had been with us so long, to eliminate that so that we could be more responsive to our customers, become a more customer-focused organization, eliminate a lot of unnecessary costs and expenses in the company, and return to profitable growth. And we're very clear about what our objectives were. However, you'd have to say at that time, a lot of the analysts were quite skeptical. And I can't blame them, given the performance that we'd have. There's a quote here from the Wall Street Journal, and I think I'll read these quotes because I'm not sure that everyone in the room here, particularly those at the back, will be able to see them. The quote says, "Some analysts openly questioned whether Mr. Palmer can achieve his goal of returning the company to profitability by the end of the year." That's a very reasonable point of view. At the time that I set that goal, I thought perhaps we had a 20 to 30% chance of actually achieving it. Again, we were in a very deep hole at that time. I thought it might be fun to look at what some of the really the most prestigious and followed analysts of the computer industry had to say about our company at that time and what they've had to say more recently. First of all, there's a quote here from Barry Willman of Goldman Sachs, one of the most respected analysts. In July 15th of 1994, Barry had this to say: "Digital targets operating profit by Q2 1995, although this seems unlikely. A most ambitious goal in view of plans for a stepped-up restructuring, a major product transition, and an ongoing erosion of fundamentals," meaning with respect to our revenues, our gross margins, and our expenses. And here's what he had to say subsequently. January 19th, 1995, so 6 months later, "It was a very strong quarter. The company returned to profitability and increased backlog strongly in the quarter. Improving fundamentals are becoming increasingly evident." Here's another quote. This one's from Richard Chu of Cowan and Company. Again, last July 27th, he said, "Difficult restructuring challenges loom. We still expect sizable losses in Q1 and Q2. More recently, Richard had this to say, January 18th, 1995. "On the crucial issues, we believe that the company is on course in its turnaround, and our confidence in the ability to attain higher level of earnings per share power continues to lift." Richard's been one of the strongest supporters of the turnaround since last August, as I recall. And then here's another and a final example from Laura Conigliaro at Prudential Securities. Last July, she said, "The digital restructuring plan raises more issues than it resolves." More recently, she said, January 18th, "We heard some whispers suggesting that results could reach break even. But even that was viewed as a minimal possibility. In my wildest dreams, I didn't expect this. All I can say is, wow." From Laura Conigliaro. That feels good, and you ought to feel good about having made that possible, in doing this turnaround. We surprised the street, we surprised our investors, and we reassured our customers, which is the most important. In the quarter, just to hit a few highlights, I think the principal thing about the quarter is that we set a very difficult goal. It was recognized as difficult, if not impossible. You achieved that goal, and it's a proof point. We also had a good performance in Q1. So this is kind of the second proof point since we announced the more total restructuring of the company that we're on the right track. And that's the importance of setting that very aggressive goal and achieving it. So we're convincing our customers, the analysts, and all of our constituents that we know what we're doing and we're on the right track to returning the company to profitability of a sustainable variety. Now, the other thing is that, so far as the quarter was concerned, all of the results have been printed, so I'm not going to go over all of the results, but we did generate a profit of $18.9 million, most of that from operations. And importantly, the operating revenues were up about 7%. Those of you that can see this graph, what it shows is the revenue growth by major broad category of business that digital's in. The top line is our services business, and the other line is the products business. The horizontal line is zero, and anything below that line is showing that you're declining in growth year over year as opposed to growing. And what you see is it's very seasonal with the quarters, but you also see that the general trend was down, and in fiscal 94, we really bottomed out. Since that time, we've turned it around dramatically. Our services business has come from a negative 11 year over year to a positive 1%, and our products business has come to a positive 13% year over year. Importantly, the profits were also exceeded in our services business for the second quarter in a row, and a major contributor to this turnaround. The next chart will show the orders, talking about product orders. You can see that for the last several years, product orders had been below zero. That means that compared to the previous year, we were continuing to lose orders in products. You see that very sharp turnaround, a direct result of the new organizational structure and focus on growing the business. And you can see that we've achieved a 12% increase. And that's actually after the divestment of our storage disks and heads business. So if you accounted for that, that growth is more like 18% or so. So very, very strong performance. The next chart shows really the fundamental problem that digital's had for the last several years. In addition to having our expenses out of control, we've had a declining, very steadily gross product margin in our business. And that means that the pricing pressures and the lack of getting our designs and manufacturing to world-class levels in terms of cost had continued to reduce digital's profitability. And finally, you see, it's bottomed out here at 30% in the first quarter and turned now to 33% in the quarter just ended. My belief is that we can continue that growth and restore the company's gross margins. The short form of the conversation is that revenues are up 7%, expenses were down 10%, expenses being research and development and SG&A expenses combined. So we reduced those 10%, and we ended the quarter with over $1 billion in cash. It's very, very important that we've had a tremendous focus on cash, and we've been able to achieve maintaining sufficient cash to get going. Now, as we go through this very difficult product transition from 32-bit VAX operating systems and all of the associated software to the Alpha systems 64-bit, it's a very difficult transition, and as you know, digital is ahead of the rest of the industry in making the transitions from 32 bits to 64 bits. You sometimes see people questioning whether Alpha is really succeeding. Well, in the quarter just ended, once again, we had 150%, actually more than 150% growth in our Alpha-related products, systems and services related to Alpha. The Alpha platforms grew by 153%, as I recall. The previous quarter by 138%. So every quarter we've been increasing our Alpha penetration. It's also important to look at, well, how would you measure our success with Alpha vis-a-vis other transitions in the industry? And I thought you might like the next slide, which compares Digital's Alpha transition with Hewlett-Packard's precision risk architecture, which they introduced in the 1980s. They were going from a 16-bit machine to a 32-bit machine.
And what you see here is in the first year of introduction, the sales of Alpha and the sales of HP PA Risk were about the same, at a couple hundred million dollars and change. The second year, Alpha is more than twice the sales of what Hewlett Packard achieved in their second year. And the third year, we're on a run rate of about $2 billion. By the end of the fiscal year, we will have done three times as much as Hewlett Packard achieved in their third year. And those of you that are familiar with our competitors know that HP has gone on to do very well with their precision architecture. Alpha is doing more than three times better than HP did in their first 3 years of introduction. This is a slide that we're going to be showing to our analysts in the industry so that they can put things in perspective, because clearly Alpha is being extremely successful. By the way, in the quarter just ended, the Alpha sales were approximately twice VAC sales. We accomplished that in about 2.5 years. If you go back and look at the transition from PDP-11 to VACs, that was in the 4 to 5 year time frame before the new architecture, in that case VACs, outsold the PDP architecture. Another very important part of our transformation that we've been talking about is the need to move more and more of our products through indirect channels, through partners, distributors, value-added resellers. A couple of years ago, we had 33% of our products move through what we call indirect channels. In the quarter just ended, it was 58%. Tremendous improvement in the last couple of years. And our objective is to achieve about 63% by the end of the year. I just came back from Executive Business Partner Seminar, where you meet with all of the, or at least a large number, of the partners that support digital, value-added resellers, software partners, distributors, two-tier resellers. We had about 20% participation from the international community, the rest from the United States. And the feedback that I got is the third year I've been going since I got the privilege of taking on this responsibility. The feedback was by far the strongest that I'd ever heard. And several of the people talked to me at the meeting said they were most impressed by the quality of the management team that they saw at that show. They were most impressed by the quality of the management team and by the fact that we understand what we're doing. I had one person tell me they'd been coming for about 10 years, and it was the first one they'd ever come to that they felt was really valuable and worth their time. The partners left that meeting just last week highly energized, so I'm expecting to see a lot of new product sales and certs as a result of that seminar. In addition to that, think about what we've accomplished. We're going through this transition and the creation of the accounts business unit to focus on our top 1,000 accounts on a global basis. That means that we had several thousand other accounts that we needed to move to other support by our partners or by teleselling or whatever that was appropriate to the size of that account. I'm told that we just completed the quarter. At that time, we have about 8,000 of those accounts that are already transitioned to an alternative form of support. We've got about 1,500 others in progress, and we expect to complete that almost totally during the current quarter. So, if you think about it, a lot was accomplished. Now finally, very, very important, certainly to me and to anybody trying to finance this thing, was the successful completion of a number of major divestments that brought in cash so that we could continue to support ourselves as we do the transformation. You know, since we started on this program, the revitalized program, we've brought in more than $750 million in cash by divesting ourselves of assets that were considered non-strategic and real estate and property throughout the world. And that's an ongoing process, and there's more, but the major, really large ones are behind us. For example, I mentioned previously the successful conclusion of our transaction with Quantum to sell our disk and heads business, which resulted in continued employment for the employees of Digital in that function. The sale of our RDB database system to one of our partners, Oracle, and again, all of the employees that wanted to remain employed with Oracle. The sale announced just recently of our semiconductor operations in South Queensferry to Motorola, with a commitment on Motorola's part to hire all of the employees, and that transaction will actually take place in terms of the physical change of ownership in June of this year. But those things were the major ones that were accomplished, bringing in cash. So we had excellent results in virtually all aspects of our operations. In terms of the new business unit structure, most of the business units met or exceeded their goals during the quarter. Those that didn't have a plan to catch up and exceed their goals in Q3 and Q4. In addition to the financial results and the results I just talked about in terms of the transition, we introduced a lot of excellent new products during the last 6 months. New Alpha stations and Alpha server lines. In fact, we completely refreshed both the VAX and the Alpha lines. We were completely refreshed our entire PC line. We introduced new Pentium-based servers, the Prioris line in PCs, and we introduced the most spectacular, really, new portables designed at Digital, manufactured by Citizen in Japan. These are the Ultra, the Hinote Ultra, which is the thinnest of all of the laptops available in the world and really getting lots of accolades for its design, and our Hinote series as well. In November, there's this show in the United States that's the largest computer show where all of the vendors come together and all of the potential customers and analysts and whatever. It's called Comdex. And at that show, Digital won 2 Best of Show awards. Nobody else did that. Out of all the thousands of vendors there, we were the only company to win 2 Best of Show. We won 1 for the most significant new technology around our Windows NT clustering on digital servers. This new technology has clearly got a major role to play in the ongoing growth and profitability of the company. It was best in show for most significant technology. We also won the best new system for our Multia multi-client desktop. In November, one of the analysts, I mean, there are a lot of good stories out there. I picked one. One of the analysts had this to say from DataQuest, and again, I'll read it. It said, the attractiveness of these new systems should override any remaining concerns that customers may have about Digital's corporate or Alpha architecture longevity. That's from DataQuest, which of course is a worldwide service and very well respected. That was in November of 94. So I want to go over all of those products and technology because one of the really important things we have to remember as we're making this transformation is we are still a technology-driven company. We have some of the finest engineering and engineers, therefore, in the world that are dedicated to this company's turnaround. And even as we were making this very dramatic transition away from a functional, centralized engineering into the business units, engineering came through in stellar fashion, delivering on time and meeting the specs of all these new products that I just mentioned that got really widely recognized in the community. So even in amongst all that transition, excellence in engineering continues. And the purpose, again, of the transition and the transformation is to make sure that our engineering becomes aligned with business units, aligned, therefore, with customers, and more customer-focused. Now, in the next 6 months, we also have some very dramatic new things coming. Possibly the most exciting is going to be announced probably in April, a new system based on our EV5, that is the 21164, world's fastest microcomputer technology. And this new system will have a capability of supporting up to 12 of these CPU modules, up to 12. And what it's going to do is it's going to support up to 14 gigabytes of memory. This will be by far the largest system that we've ever introduced in terms of performance and capability. And it will actually have more performance than most mainframes or supercomputers at a fraction of the cost. We've been looking, you know, when you make a transition to a new architecture, part of the reason it takes more than an afternoon to make the transition is you have to find an application or a number of applications that really take advantage of the new capability and address space that you have. Those aren't easy to find. Sometimes you see them talked about as what is the killer application. We recently demonstrated what I believe will prove to be a killer application for the Alpha and for all 64-bit computing, but Alpha's ahead of everyone else. And that has to do with very large databases and the ability to directly access information in those databases from main memory, from semiconductor memory, so that you can have immediate access to the data. We had a demonstration with our partner Oracle that has a scalable database on an Alpha cluster. This was done at DECUS in December in Anaheim, California. Now, this database was running on a DEC 7000 on OSF1. And we demonstrated in doing queries of the data 600 to 800% higher performance than existing mainframes with that database, and at 1/10 of the system cost. 1/10 of the cost. Now, databases are widely deployed throughout the world in commercial and scientific applications. And as we drive forward with Oracle and with other database manufacturers and partner with them so that these scalable databases can take advantage of the scalable alpha architecture, I believe we can go after install bases all over the world with a solution at a fraction of the cost of mainframes and with higher performance. This particular configuration took advantage of what we call very large memory. Again, data in main memory. Most systems today, 32-bit systems, are limited to 2 gigabytes of main memory that you can directly access. Because of the 64-bit capability of Alpha, we were able to demonstrate 8 gigabytes of RAM, which gave that additional performance. It's just impossible in a 32-bit system. I really believe this is going to have tremendous impact on our company as we go forward. So I'm looking forward to this announcement, and it'll be one that we have with a great deal of fanfare, and we will, in addition to talking about the product itself, we will be talking about some benchmarks achieved with the database. Now, as we've talked about before, these partnerships with major companies, particularly software companies like Oracle with databases, Microsoft with operating systems and applications, are quite key to digital's ongoing success. And those relationships are going very well. We've talked about our leadership technology, and we have long been recognized for leadership and excellence in engineering. We've also been derided by virtually everybody about our inability to explain the value of our engineering in customer terms through our advertising and marketing. I'm very pleased with the progress that we've made in the last 6 or 7 months with a new advertising campaign, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit today in terms of what we've accomplished. And you can see already there's a lot of excitement building around Digital's new advertising program. Those of you in the U.S. have had the opportunity to see either the ads in print or hopefully some of these Sunday focused television advertisement. We're going to start, we tested that in the United States, but now we're about to roll that out on an international basis. We're going to have a similar campaign, again tailored for the local geographies, in Europe, in Hong Kong, in Sydney, in Tokyo, and in Latin America. And that's just about to get started as I speak here. I thought I might share with you some of the feedback we've gotten from the U.S. campaign. And we'll see that we were able to reach our targeted audience. We didn't have a lot of money to spend here. And so in the case of television in particular, we focused on Sunday. One analyst that I read said Digital had a very focused precision bombing as opposed to a widely dispersed carpet bomb. And that was picked up by the analyst as being very effective. We got the most for our money, you might say. Here's some direct quotes from a variety of people that had seen the ads, mostly from our customers. And this, again, it's mostly anecdotal, but we got it from customers and salespeople. First said, my customers have been saying, hey, I've seen your ads. People remember them. Another quote was that customers find the ads intriguing. Another says that Digital is creating differentiation through these ads. Another one says the new ads stop people. I've gotten positive reaction from customers and partners. I certainly heard that at the new partners forum that I was just at. The new ads work to establish Digital as a vendor that's not going away, is another quote. The issue around corporate advertising, the worst thing that can happen in advertising is not to get noticed. I'm not saying that everybody liked every ad. That's irrational. I mean, people do not universally agree on much of anything. But overwhelmingly, the response to our advertising campaign has been very positive. I've been told that on the campaign on television, we managed to reach about 98% of the IT professionals we were trying to reach on an average of about 20 times. So very, very focused. And clearly, when I visit customers now, I see that their perception of our company is changing. So it's a multiplicity of things. It's a different look to the company, better financials, new and exciting technology. All of those things help build a perception in the minds of the customers that Digital is a leadership company, we are going to survive this transition, and we're out ahead of our competition. I thought you might like to see one of the ads that ran on television. This one extols the virtues of Digital's, as I mentioned, ultra-high note PC, which has been really, really well accepted. So we'll roll this video so you can see it.
The most amazing thing about Digital's new 486 75 megahertz computer isn't that it can fit in your briefcase. It's that it fits, full-size screen, keyboard and all, in the envelopes in your briefcase. Introducing the Digital High Note Ultra, about 4 pounds light and 1 inch thin. The functionality of a notebook, the portability of, actually, an envelope.
That was a very well done ad. You notice it was short, but you very much got the impact. And certainly is a good example, I think, of precision advertising, and it's had certainly very positive feedback. And we essentially sold out at this moment, trying to ramp up our production on that product, which is a nice place to be, as opposed to having lots of inventory and no buyers. In addition to that, we finally had just one further quote from DataQuest talking about how we're doing with our new marketing and advertising campaign. And again, when you think about where we've come from, it's kind of a remarkable statement. DataQuest in December of 94 said, Digital is getting its marketing act together and is off to a good start with its series of new television ads. Digital, you've got my attention. So that's great. Our advertising throughout all the business units and in corporate advertising and our partner, DDB and Needham, as well as Y&R, can feel very, very good about what they've accomplished in a short time. And we're going to continue. Now, I want to change gears a little bit. I think that I've been doing these DVNs ever since I was privileged to take on the role as chief executive officer of the company, at least once a quarter. I enjoy doing them because it gives me a chance to hear your questions and to let you know what I'm thinking about, what's on my mind. As I think about it, I don't believe I've given a single DVN where I didn't talk about the company's values at some point in either the presentation or the Q&A. And somebody asked me why that was, and again, be repetitive with previous DVNs, it's because it's so important. Our core values define us as a company, and this company has had a history, a very long history, of exceptionally fine core values. We've been modifying our values and our behavior a little bit to add a little more emphasis on accountability, in fact, a lot more emphasis on accountability. But for the most part, the value systems that built this great company are the same ones we have with us today that we're carrying forward. And I thought it's nice that even in amongst all of this turmoil and transition that we're going through, Digital employees and Digital Corporation continues to get recognition for the quality of its value system and its dedication to improving the lives of others and working in communities in which we do business around the world to that end. And just recently we've been noted for that again, and I thought I'd share that with you. In December, I think it was, we had a recognition as one of 20 United States corporations. I mean, there's literally thousands and thousands of corporations in the United States. One of 20 that was recognized on the Consumer Honor Roll of the Council of Economic Priorities for its socially responsible practices, including stewardship of the environment, family benefits, community outreach programs, charitable giving, and corporate disclosure. We also, another group, we received the 6th Annual Business Ethics Award from Business Ethics Magazine. 3 were given this year. All of the winners were in the high-tech industry. Just 3 awards. Digital was one of the winners of this award. We were cited for our vision, our Earth Vision Plan. We were cited for a long-term commitment to community. And these are really important public recognitions of your work and what our company stands for. We also managed to achieve a goal to eliminate the most damaging chemicals used in manufacturing. We were 8 months ahead of plan in eliminating those chemicals. And we're continuing to work on improving our environmental safety and controls. I think it's very important to think about, even as we're doing all of these other things that have to do with financials, that we not lose sight of what we stand for, and that's why I keep bringing this up at every DVM. We have an Office of Ethics and Business Practices that helps us make sure that we don't have stray from these values. We have an Environmental Health and Safety Group that has done an excellent job in ensuring that we not only meet the letter of the law, but the spirit, the intent for which we've been recognized, And that's why I'd like to take that opportunity to remind all employees of our success in that area and my continued focus on maintaining that particular aspect of Digital Equipment Corporation. So now, and just thinking about where we are, my guess or my feeling is that we're well over halfway through the transformation of this company. Transformations take a number of years to accomplish. We've been at this a little over 2 years. It's interesting if you go back and look at other companies that have gotten in trouble and see, well, how long does it take for companies to really turn around and to transform their cultures? In most cases, it's a number of years. I talked to the chief executive officer of Xerox. I may have mentioned this once before. He said they've been going at it at least 10 years. And yet they never had an operating loss, so their challenge was not nearly as great as Digital's. In the case of Chrysler Corporation, which had a similar financial circumstance as Digital had, it took 8 years to turn it around. There is no example that I can think of any other mini-computer-focused company that, in fact, has turned around. So it's kind of interesting when you think about it, put it in perspective, you've accomplished a great deal working together to achieve what we have so far. I am not saying we've turned the company around. We've achieved a couple of important milestones. We have a lot more to do, and we need to avoid any kind of complacency or feeling that, gee, we had a profit so we can start spending again and everything's going to be like it once was. It will never be like it once was. It is going to be more competitive for the foreseeable future in computing. And yet Digital is now positioned to compete with the best companies out there and to be profitable in doing so. If you think about going forward, we have three fundamental priorities for the current quarter and in the next quarter. We need to sustain this revenue and profit growth. We need to do all of the things that we've got planned and that we're in transition of executing in terms of the transformation of the company. We need to not lose sight of the importance of generating cash from operations, of managing our assets on a worldwide basis more efficiently. And of course, as I mentioned, we have to continue all of our cost disciplines in order to ensure that we don't lose momentum in this transformation. We have excellent people in this company. We're now down to a size that's almost competitive. Most of the downsizing, I believe, in the company is behind us. I'm not saying it's behind us because you don't know the future. It's impossible to predict what might be necessary. But if the environment worldwide stays about like it is, and if we continue to execute as well as we did in Q2, most of the downsizing that this company had to go through is behind us. And that's a very good thing to be able to focus on now, is growing our business. We can take our eye off somewhat all of those unpleasantries and focus on all of the things we need to grow revenue and profits in the company. So it'll be a lot more emphasis on that side of the business as we go forward. We have done a lot. All Digital employees have every reason in the world to feel proud of what they've accomplished. We have a lot more to do. I'm very confident that we're on the right track. We've got a couple of proof points that are very tangible that we are. I think with your continued hard work and support, and particularly focus on our customers and doing whatever's necessary to support those customers with exceptional service, will absolutely ensure that this transformation continues and that we return to sustained profitability. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to try to address quickly. That's always a challenge for me. But I'd like to try and address these questions and then get to questions that you might have this morning. The first question had something to do with my personal recommendations on how to keep the customer-focused momentum going. I think that every employee in the company has some function that ultimately supports a customer. You know, I've talked about this before, that there is no guarantee of anyone's job. Only customers can guarantee our continued employment. They have to buy our products and our services. And we're competing with a lot of exceptionally good companies out there. In order for us to differentiate ourselves, it's not just on technology. It has to be on service. It has to be on, you know, confidence of dealing with Digital. I used to be a customer of Digital, and the most important thing to me when I was signing purchase orders is I knew I could depend on Digital. I could depend on Digital people, doing whatever was necessary to make sure that what I got was what I expected to get and that it worked, and that if there was any problem, they'd fix it. And also on attitude, that it was a pleasure to do business with Digital. I felt like I was important as a customer. We need to think about that. In every job that we have, whatever your job function, you have a customer, either one internal to Digital or one external to this company. And we really need to focus on being differentiated from all other competitors by delivering exceptional service to those customers. Someone asked the question about what other measures can we take to sustain profitability. Well, in virtually every business unit, there are a series of appropriate actions that are highly visible to me and my management team, and on which there are real metrics so you can actually tell how you're doing in going ahead and executing those. Every business unit has a business model appropriate to that business unit and a number of programs that are intended to achieve that business model, whether it be in gross margins, in the research and development expenses, in SG&A expenses. There is programs to address all of the issues so that we can ensure profitability by business unit and in the corporation as a whole. I will say that the vast majority of the expense reductions that are planned in the future are not in engineering, because we've got that about where we need it, and they're not in sales. We've got sales expenses about where we need them in the corporation as a whole. But in the general and administrative area, we still have about 5 percentage points as a percent of revenue to work on. And that's tremendously less difficult than what we've already been through. So in terms of the progress we've already made, we don't have that much more to go until we have a P&L statement that is competitive with the leaders in the industry. Not there yet, but clearly have programs to achieve that. That's not to say, by the way, that we may not have some backward sliding, you know, and trying to make a turnaround, you're going to have 3 steps forward and a half step or a step back. So we shouldn't get discouraged if that in fact happens, but we're doing everything we can in management, and I know you're doing everything you can to ensure that doesn't happen in Q3. Next major milestone to be achieved was a question. Well, really, the next major milestone is sustained profitability. You know that in Q3, traditionally, you have less revenue than we have in Q2. So we expect that we're going to have to get our costs down a little more. We've got to get the gross margins up by better manufacturing and design. And we're doing all of those things. I will have no idea standing here, absolutely no idea how the quarter will really come out, because it's too early in the quarter to know. We've got to get out there and sell aggressively. You know, you think about what our sales force was able to accomplish, quite dramatic. In the midst of all of this change, the sales organizations throughout the world met or exceeded their goals. They have to feel really good about that. But we're still not through with the transformation. This quarter, we're going through the rest of the transformation, in particular within the Computer Systems Division, into the Accounts Business Unit and the SBU, the absorption of SI into the Accounts Business Unit. So there's a lot more that's going on this quarter. And even while we're doing all of that, we have to have the same focus on sales and field support. All of the support out there in the field that makes our sales professionals effective. We still have to have that focus. If we do that, we can be profitable in Q3. We clearly have the ability to be profitable this quarter. I'm very sure of that. Whether we will be depends on how well each and every employee executes his or her job function in the quarter. In Q4, we should be profitable. Then we have our traditional challenge in Q1 of FY96, and it's not too early to start thinking about it, and management is thinking about it, thinking about what steps we need to take, because in Q1, as you know, revenues decline quite significantly. What steps do we need to take to maintain profitability? So you might say that the reward for achieving profitability and all this hard work in Q2 is we get to do it again. And that's the nature of the business. There's no easy thing out there. You just keep hammering. But it's very motivating, certainly to me and the management team, and I hope to you, to see that we are making progress, we are achieving our objectives. Next major milestone, sustainable profitability and revenue and profit growth. That's what we're shooting for. We've said publicly we expect to achieve that by the end of this fiscal year. I'd like to achieve it this quarter. Another question had to do with the role of systems integration in the organization. And I think there were 2 or 3 questions about that that talked about the absorption of systems integration into the accounts business unit. The issue there was to try and think about, from the customer's perspective, what is the value proposition that this company offers to customers? And how do we differentiate ourselves from our competitors? How can we get closer with our systems integration skills to those customers? By the way, there's a number of people here this morning from the systems integration organization. And the remarks I made about our field professionals would equally apply to our SI professionals. Again, going through a major transition, it was an extraordinarily good job of leadership that Sri provided with his management team, and it was extraordinarily hard work for our systems integration professionals to stay focused on customers and delivering what we promised. They did an exceptional job. Got to continue that job as we become, in fact, part of the ABU. Now, a question was, why do we want to keep the SI organization separate, sort of as a mini P&L? And the reason is because that business, like all of our businesses, is extremely competitive. We need to be able to know exactly what our investment is in systems integration and what the return is. We need to be able to understand, can we afford more investment or do we need to cut back some of the investment? And to do that, you really have to have a mini P&L, a shadow P&L, if you will, within the accounts business unit. So within the accounts business unit, Vincenzo will have that systems integration capability and the ability to see the return on those resources as well as the return on the sales and other field support organizations. And it's very important as he manages his portfolio for our top 1,000 accounts worldwide that we have that clarity. But systems integration is essential for digital to deliver on its value proposition, which has to do, as you know, with the design and implementation together with our partners of platforms and applications in distributed computing heterogeneous environments. We can do that better and quicker than anyone else. And that's our value proposition to customers. It's something they all need help with. And to deliver that, the design and implementation, you need the systems integration skills. You also need the network integration skills that have become part of multi-vendor customer services. You know, if you think about that piece of our business, that is the unifying structure of this company. Digital is very fortunate. Only one other company, the IBM company, has in place the kind of resource we have in our services organization, able to service in 100 countries at least worldwide, 450 locations, almost 20,000 individuals dedicated to service and customer support with a wide variety of skills and with tremendous growth in the multi-vendor part of that business. More than 50% growth in the quarter just ended year over year. So that's a tremendous unifying thing. And that has to do, by the way, with another question here that had something to do with how do you keep, as you go to business units, still the synergy and the teamwork among the different pieces? Because you're eliminating the matrix management for a first approximation. Of course, there are some things that always remain matrix, like finance and law and so things like that. But fundamentally, as you eliminate the matrix and you eliminate the kinds of infrastructure that we had, how do you ensure that you still have teamwork and that there's a real positive synergy? Because we're all part of the Digital Equipment Corporation. That's the importance of that brand identification. That's why it's important that every advertisement that we have looks like it came from the same company. It doesn't mean they're all the same because each business unit has different needs. And the business units need to drive their advertising and marketing campaigns. But then you need a framework so it all looks like it came from the same company. And the customer recognizes the value that digital brings because it's more than just a collection of business units. There's a synergy across all of them that have to do with distributed networked computing. That's the way I think about it. That's the way that we organize our investments, and that's the way we will organize in the future with respect to those investments. Now, I think at one level or another, I may have answered all of the questions that were posed in that opening tape. At least I hope so. If I didn't, and there's someone here that would like to ask a follow-up question on anything that I talked about, I'd be happy to address that.
Bob, my name is Debbie Joy. I'm with the Network Services Organization for Asia Pacific. At the end of your comments, you were talking about how we all work for Digital Equipment Corporation, even though there's a separate business units. There seems to still be issues in place in some of the sales models in the organizations, in the individual sales models, that almost force the behavior to, rather than cross servicing each other, to actually go outside the company for products or services, and that doesn't seem to help digital as a corporation. And I'm wondering if there's anybody looking at reorganizing the sales models or trying to make them work with each other rather than working kind of against each other.
That's a problem. That's a very good question. That's a problem that exists not only in this company but in all global companies. And I talk to a lot of senior executives, the CEOs of other computer companies, IBM and Hewlett-Packard, some Microsystems and many others. And we share our points of view around this subject. We all virtually have this problem. And to varying degrees, it exists. And the idea, the only way you solve that problem, by the way, is by having metrics for individuals that promote the right behavior. We are not planning some major redesign of what we have, because what we have is substantially better than what we've ever had before. But it's not yet perfect. We've got a lot of work to do in the underlying systems, for example, to ensure that we give the appropriate credit to everybody that participates in supporting the customer in the field. If you think about it, Digital, IBM, all of the companies really that are global international companies, originally set up their company models following the IBM model. That model was very geography focused, and it had an infrastructure in every country that essentially supported everything. In today's world, the margins don't support that model. You can't have a complete infrastructure, particularly in the smaller countries. Also, the customers that we service today are typically global enterprises, so they have operations across the globe, and they want to be able to buy and be serviced in a global fashion. They're not interested in the problems that digital and other companies have going across country lines and geographies. But all of our systems are set up to collect data that way. And so we're in the transition in our information management technology group of putting systems in place that speak to each other and look at customers globally. And it'll get better every quarter. But there is a lot of attention on the problem that you mentioned within particularly the computer systems division. Between business units, there's a lot of internal work on doing two things. One, how do we give the appropriate transfer costs going from one business unit to another within digital so that we can preserve this year's plan and this year's compensation metrics and all of that, at the same time make it more efficient as we go into FY96. So some of the changes will be implemented this year, some will be implemented next year. I'm mostly intent on getting it right for the longer term and on making sure that people that are out there working hard and whose compensation depends on getting the right credit, that we in fact do get the right credit and make sure that we reinforce this pay for performance concept and the importance of having variable compensation in the company. And by the way, I think that a lot of the performance that we've seen is a direct result of variable compensation in the field. So we are going to continue to work on that. Don't have the answers to all the problems, nor does any of our competitors. And all are moving in this direction, however. Other questions?
Yeah, yes. Bob, I'm Val Verge from MCS. I've noticed a large number of my colleagues leaving the company for other opportunities. Is there anything being done to prevent complete skill drain from the company and to bring new skills into digital so we can continue to succeed?
I'm glad you asked both of those questions on the new skills as well as on the drain that we have. Clearly, when a company's in as much trouble as we've been in, you're going to lose some people. And also, when you have organizations that are really known for their excellence in engineering, and in particular, you mentioned multi-vendor customer services, digital is the benchmark for the industry in multi-vendor customer services, and we're going to lose some people that we don't want to lose. We have been losing them. My perception is, based on the data that I get, is that that's starting to slow. So as the company came out of this big slump that we had last year, more employees are willing to stay with the company and stay for the long term. So I think it's getting better, not perfect. We have instituted a number of programs that are very focused on key talents to make sure that they have incentive to stay with the company in the form of one form of a stock option or some other incentive. And so we're doing things that are reasonable, that at the same time have to be affordable, and that have to be fair with respect to the entire population. So we're kind of focused on it by business unit. The other issue is, though, new skills. We're adding a lot of new skills to this company, and at all levels. The new skills are coming in, and it's kind of important to recognize that we are attracting very talented people and very well-regarded people from our best competitors in the industry. So a lot of people are joining digital because they see the opportunity for this turnaround and because they're excited about the new technology and can look beyond a quarter or two and see where the company is going, want to be part of that. So we've been quite successful in attracting new talent. I'm personally intent on a more aggressive plan by business unit for getting new college talent coming into the company. We need every year, regardless of what restructuring we're doing in the company, we need to be hiring in particular technical talent coming out of the universities because the pace of technical innovation is so great, you've got to have people coming in all the time to the company in order to keep it growing. So I'm optimistic that we'll be able to stem that. It has been higher than we've traditionally seen. On the other hand, the rate of attrition that we've seen here in New England feels worse to us because it's not culturally the norm in New England. It doesn't feel out of proportion if you're from the West Coast. On the West Coast, the Silicon Valley environment, significant turnover is a way of life, and yet that hasn't prevented companies from being very successful. Just it's a little awkward for us. We're not used to it. We need to get used to it because, again, you can't prevent it. You need to be able to figure out how do you invest in your employees and get them the skills, and we're going to do more of that so that we can continue to grow, even if we're having some people leaving. Other questions? Yes.
Hi, Bob. I'm from the Systems Integration Group, and the future of the company depends a lot on the success of OSF1, and we need to sell ourselves as a Unix company. Why aren't we doing more in providing Unix systems and promoting Unix internally before we can go out and sell that concept to our customers?
Well, we have been doing a lot relative to Unix. I think you're quite right. We have to be successful in Unix because it's important to a lot of our customers. I think that the evidence that we are succeeding is the 100% growth we had in the quarter just ended over the previous year.
Please flip this cassette over, rewind to the beginning of side B.